The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today, as it is with most days, I'm here with Lita Brillman. How are you doing, Lita?
I hate this new intro that you do because it's not true, and it's way less flattering than when you used to be like, the amazing Lita or whatever. Now it's just like a false fact.
It's theoretically true in the future.
Oh, my God. It's so rude. Besides having to deal with you today, I'm doing great. I'm on vacation. I'm going to go to the beach after this, so I'm excited.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Lita was telling me earlier today, she was like, we really need to record because I'm going to be so busy later today. I won't be able to record. And now I know why. It's because she's got these busy plans to go to the beach.
I didn't say I was going to be busy. I said I might not be able to because I would be actively in a lake.
Okay. I physically I can't record won't when I'm be underwater. Able to. I've got, see, again, Lita just putting her own spiritual journey ahead of all of you listeners.
But I'm here, right? I was out and I came back when you said that it was time to record.
All right. Well, we are here to talk about night two of the stage one course in Vegas. Very exciting stuff. And I do have some clips from John and Megan and James and Alyssa to play for you guys as they talk about their runs, their reaction to some other runs. So we'll get to those as we progress through. It'll probably be toward the end of the episode. So if you're interested in that, look forward to it. So we start off this episode with this big package on Casey. Like, this is the first thing we're seeing. Very melodramatic, like, you know, Casey Catanzaro 5 years ago did the thing, or maybe it was 4 years ago, who knows, and inspired women everywhere. And they're really, like, really making sure that you understand that this is, in fact, going to be her last run and not a theoretical stage two run.
I thought it was 3 years ago. Wasn't it season six?
I don't know.
Okay. There's truly no way of knowing.
She said she'd been doing it for 5 years. Actually, that makes sense because I think she competed twice before finally making it up the orb ball.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Taryn doesn't know anything about Mighty Casey.
Except for the fact that she competed twice before that run, which I bet you didn't know.
Okay. Well, this is not melodramatic. It was just regular dramatic, I think.
I mean, I guess so. Should we debate the merits of melodrama versus regular drama?
Well, I just it was over the top in a way, but I don't think it was like, I think it was truthful. I don't think that they were like exaggerating anything that wasn't like true. They had people like Jesse and like Barkley, Jesse the Beck and Barkley saying like, this is why I did this. And I think that that's probably true.
I think that's true. And I really enjoyed that part. I thought it was just like maybe a little bit, and you know, I don't want to speak for anyone, but maybe a little bit condescending to show like Megan and Michelle in the like montage of like women that like were inspired to do American Ninja Warrior because of Casey, when they were also women that made it up the warped wall in that same season. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about that season is that Casey was the first up sort of on a technicality.
Right.
Because she just happened to run first. But it still is. I mean, with like, I liked how they included Tyler Yamauchi saying like, you know, someone who's 5 foot did it. So it's not just being a woman, it's being her size and, you know, coming from her background or whatever it is. I mean, I was glad that they dedicated the time to it. I think that Casey deserves a lot of respect. And I think that there's some haters out there who think that she gets overhyped or whatever. But I think that it's important to celebrate her achievements because it is something that even so many of my friends who had never seen the show were like, oh, the tiny girl who did it. Like, that's what they know when I talk about, like, loving American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, and I mean, when I think it was Jesse, it might have been somebody else who in the package is like, Casey put this show on the map. Like, that is 100% true. Like, this was this was very much a show for the nerdy people that watched G4 for quite a while, and it wasn't until Casey did her like incredibly viral run on in the city finals that that really, like, a huge audience came to it. Now all of a sudden it's a much different and bigger show, you know, one that is you know, nominated for an Emmy. Yes, we've been trying to book Matt Eisman on a Big Brother recap. He was like, yeah, Sunday I'm gonna be at the Emmys. It's like, whoa, man, that's so cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, he probably should have ditched that for a Big Brother recap. They're, like, equal caliber.
Well, obviously.
Yeah. Well, we want American Ninja Warrior to win so that we can be Emmy Award winning podcasters. I'm ready for that. And so you think you can
right
dance
now,
so that I can put that
right
on
now
there.
We're only twice nominated Emmy Award winning podcasters.
Yeah, exactly. We were invited to go and, like, go up on the stage if they win and accept the award. But, you know, we have to do our podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taryn has to do the Big Brother recap.
I'm dedicated to you guys. I skipped out on the Emmys. So
yes, but
so we get to stage one here, and it's of course the same course that we recapped for you last time, starting with Snake Run, Into the Propeller Bar, the Double Dipper, Jumping Spider, Parkour Run, Warped Wall, Domino Pipes, and the Flying Squirrel. And Akbar, it was like he listened to our interview with James and Alyssa at one point through the Domino Pipes. I believe when Robin was going across them, Akbar says, "Those pipes will fall like dominoes as you run across them."
Oh, I see.
Really justifying the name to all you naysayers, Lita.
But they don't fall like dominoes. The whole thing about falling like dominoes is that one knocks into the other and they all fall down. These still fall down individually.
Not according to Akbar.
They fall like any other thing. They fall like cantaloupes. Like, they just
like
fall.
Like cantaloupes?
They fall like any other object in the
Are
world.
Are cantaloupes known
like
for
dominoes.
Falling?
No, I'm just giving an example of a random object that falls, that can fall. What are you Googling?
I'm Googling cantaloupes to see if this is some sort of, like, weird thing. Like, oh, cantaloupes, they're so prone to falling all the time, and they have a very peculiar way of doing so.
No, I was just saying that they fall like any random thing. They fall like anything, not just like dominoes.
All right. Cantaloupes, though.
In that they are susceptible
you could have
to
said
gravity.
They fall like anything would, but you chose to say they fall like cantaloupes.
I don't even like cantaloupes. I don't know where that is coming from.
Well, maybe it's coming from Rigel Henry, who is our first runner of the night, a 29-year-old.
What a transition.
Construction worker. He says, "No pain, no ninja gain." This is the guy that looks like Spicoli. And I got to say, I'm very, very conflicted about this guy. Because I love his fun-loving nature, but I hate his, like, "Yo, bro, I'm a surfer dude." But then...
That's what you hate about him?
I love the fact that he's like, "I don't drink, I don't smoke." I'm like, "Awesome, dude." And then I hate the fact that when he had to wear a number for one of his competitions, he pinned it to his stomach and bare skin. I really hate that. So very conflicted on Rigel Henry.
I have no problem with his, like, surfer or whatever. I have no problem with his sobriety. But he's the guy who said that he doesn't need drugs because he's high on life. So I think we already were not too in on
always
him.
Always conflicted.
But yeah, the safety pinning the number to his skin is disgusting. I'm sure you don't either, but I don't have any piercings at all. So, like, anything like this really freaks me out. Like, I won't even put stuff through, like, my ears or my belly button or anything like that. So this is really gross.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I'm really glad they don't make the city final finishers wear their little, like, pins anymore, because I don't want to see that.
Oh my god, it concerns me that he has a child.
We don't have to go that far.
Oh, okay. Well, he just seems very irresponsible.
He heads out onto the course, gets to the Jumping Spider, and Matt says as he goes down there, "Well, it was Fast Times, but not the ending that Rigel Henry wanted, because he was fast up until that point, and then he went down."
He already used the fast times thing.
They used it about five times.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we get to Lita's favorite, Benjamin Humphreys, the 23-year-old hairstylist. Right at the start, he takes off his hat and signs it. Akbar said, look at that, signing his hat and giving it to a fan. He's big time now.
I wanted that hat.
So yeah, he's big time now. Signing hats, giving them away.
Yeah, well, he had a big package with his brother, even in his qualifier. So I think that he was someone that people vaguely remember. Plus, he has the eyebrow thing going on.
The eyebrow thing, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? He has a piece of his eyebrow shaved.
Oh, was that intentional or not intentional?
I believe it's intentional. He's a hairstylist.
You never know.
Or maybe things went really wrong at work with his razor.
Maybe he had an accident and now he can't grow hair there.
I don't mean to be insensitive towards Benjamin.
Well, good. He has this package about his brother. Good stuff, but he goes down pretty quickly on the propeller bar. Does not get enough height on the jump there.
Yeah, this bummed me out in real life and watching it on TV.
Yes, Lita did not get to see him in action because he went out far before he came into our view.
Yeah, we couldn't even see him.
So next up, we have a montage. And the first up in this montage was none other than Steve Seaver himself. And this is very relevant because there was something interesting that happened in Vegas. I'm looking at my notes here. Seaver's mom was in the crowd. And for a long time, for like a good hour before he ran, she was handing out signs and pom-poms and all sorts of stuff like, get ready to cheer Steve Seaver on. This is going to be great. Remember, we're in the back half. So like everybody is waiting for Steve Seaver to come. His mom has been giving everyone signs. The entire crowd would have been littered with Steve Seaver signs and pom-poms and craziness. And Steve Seaver finally steps up to the starting line and he goes out on the first obstacle.
Yeah, his mom is like, he's the guy with the pink mohawk. You can't miss him. And even in the montage, they were like, Steve Seaver, who had a big cheering section. It's like no one there actually knew him. He just, his mom made like 20 signs.
More than 20, I think.
Okay. And was just handing them out to random strangers.
Yes, unfortunate for Seaver. His mom had to like sullenly collect all of the signs and pom-poms after he went out first.
I kept mine though. I wanted it. And that gave me pep through the long night.
Yes, Lita stole her pom-poms. Basically.
I stole a poor woman's pom-pom.
Yeah, her son went out first and Lita stole her pom-poms.
Yeah, it was cruel, but I needed it.
Cruel and unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So that was Steve Seaver out on the first obstacle. Then we had Craig Richard, who went out on the propeller bar, and Jerry D'Aurelio, who went out on the double dipper. Then we had Robin Peachman, the 27-year-old Coast Guard rescue person. His father is here from the Czech Republic to cheer him on. Heartwarming, you know. His father came all the way.
Is that his official job, Coast Guard rescue person?
Yes, it's the amount of words that I wrote down before the thing went away.
Okay.
Coast Guard rescue person.
Human being. Yeah. Okay.
He's got his wife there. Very good looking couple.
Okay.
But I didn't have a whole lot of observations about this guy, so I had to really milk it.
I was more focused on the fact that they finally gave 9-year-old Hannah credit for the double dipper.
That's true.
She invented it.
Yeah.
So congrats, Hannah from California.
Congratulations. Akbar says on Parkour Run, he knows about saving people. He needs to save himself here.
Whoa. Yeah. I feel like there could have been jokes about him being like a swimmer rescue person because he falls in the water.
I guess so. This is also when Akbar explains to you why they're called the Domino Pipes.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation, Akbar.
And then he finally misses the jump on the flying squirrel and goes down.
R.I.P.
Yes. Next, we had Tyler Yamauchi, the 32-year-old stay-at-home dad, wants to be the shortest man to ever hit the buzzer in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're now setting records that are stupid for men.
Oh, of course.
I feel like that's a step towards equality, whereas we're like, you know, the second mom up the warped wall or whatever. It's like, now we're doing the shortest man. I think that's good.
Sure. I think that's that was the roots of American Ninja Warrior. So they're just kind of like back to their roots.
What, setting stupid records?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He does a backflip from a sitting position. It was so cool.
It was pretty cool. He also does very well in the jumping spider here. He gets a huge running start and gets super far into the jumping spider before locking out. He clearly knows how to get this thing done.
Yeah, his bounce on the trampoline is almost too good, where like he almost goes forward. But I mean, he's a gymnast. He knows his way around a trampoline.
Yes. So then he takes a big break before the warped wall, but does manage to get up it and gives it a little kiss on the way out.
Aw, cute.
Yeah. And then as he gets to the flying squirrel, Matt says the man known as the Muscle Ball is rolling through stage one.
I don't like the Muscle Ball.
Why?
It's not. I like Taiyo Yamauchi. I mean, not that I don't like him. I don't like that nickname.
What's wrong with Muscle Ball?
I don't know. It conjures like a gross image to me. It conjures an image of like when you have a knot, like when you're getting a massage. That's like a muscle ball.
I mean, it does conjure that image, but then at the same time, it's like, whatever. Think about his shirt.
We don't know that that's what that says. None of our listeners who speak Japanese have let us know.
He rebranded from last year.
What was his thing last year?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. That's some good exactly. Rebranding. Is that rebranding or is that just acquiring branding?
Well, you know, he was at first just Taiyo Yamauchi, and now he is Taiyo Yamauchi with an orange shirt and a nickname.
Okay. But Drew Dreschel already has an orange shirt with Japanese on it and a nickname.
It's true, but Tyler is really short, so that helps.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's the shortest man ever to finish stage one.
He is that. So next up, we have Megan Martin, the 27-year-old pro rock climber. We get a package about her parents and how they have been very supportive of her athletic accomplishments.
I'm excited to talk about my best friend, Megan Martin, but also we skipped over the super essential Jesse Graff interview, which doesn't count as a real Christine interview because we're not in the background of it.
Oh, of course.
They do it from a different angle.
We should also point out that there were some interviews that were done in front of a different like bleacher stand. Only a couple, but there were some because we were chastised that we were not giving enough enthusiasm for all of the interviews.
Yeah, our section was not the most lit, as it were.
Yeah.
I was. Taryn was really dragging down the energy.
It wasn't my fault.
Okay. It was the fault of the so-called testers that were sitting near us who wouldn't stop gossiping through the whole thing.
So yes, Megan Martin takes on the course, misses the rope here on the propeller bar, has to go an extra two rotations. That really ends up slowing her down. She has another bit of trouble on the double dipper, getting it to start. Clock is ticking down. Akbar, he's in love with Megan. He gets so caught up in things anytime she runs. As she gets onto parkour run, Akbar goes, "Stay calm, stay calm. I gotta stay calm for Megan Martin here."
He loves her, even though she doesn't love his nickname for her too much, the She-Wolf.
Yes. She ends up missing her first attempt at parkour run and then just manages to make it up the warped wall before the time runs out.
But she still did great, and she's still my best friend. And that's what matters.
Yes. And she did, in fact, talk to us about her experience.
I really liked the addition of the double dipper. I think it was a really cool obstacle. I feel like normally that's the third obstacle. Normally the third obstacle on the Vegas course isn't that fun, in my opinion. Like Silk Slider, not that fun. Like the landing pad was always annoying. The log thing, not that fun. But this one, like, was actually fun. It was like a roller coaster almost, and you kind of got to fly through the air, which was really exciting. I had some issues with ropes in general on this course, so I kind of missed the Sonic curve. I thought that was a lot more chill to dismount from, like getting caught up on the rope on what is the new thing even called? Do you guys know
which one the
So like, it's not the Sonic Curve anymore. It's like,
oh, is it? It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they told us.
Yeah, we're just in the audience. They didn't. They didn't inform us.
Yeah, it's something Parkour like run, it. We know it's now. Just different a little bit, and like getting to the platforms like a little more annoying. So, but overall, I mean, it's a good course. I'm glad they brought back the Flying Squirrel. That one's a really fun obstacle. Jumping Spider is always fun.
Yeah. So I'm well, like, what happened there on the Sonic Curve esque obstacle?
Well, so it all started on the propeller. I jumped to the propeller and it was fine. And I was like, nice. I got the rope right away. I had it with my feet and I was going to put my hand on it, but then the rope was caught between like the propeller also. And so when I went to grab the rope, it slipped from my feet. And I was already stopped. So then I spun around so slowly on the propeller as my time just like starts going away. And I then reached for the rope again, but it's like on an, like the swing was like off so that I couldn't reach it. So then I went around one more time on the propeller. So it took me 3 cycles to get off of the propeller because of the silly rope. And so I was like trying to play catch up basically the rest of the time with my time. And then I get to the Sonic Curve, whatever thing, and, you know, mess up on that rope a little bit, which like almost everybody did, but not everybody took 3 rotations on the propeller. So
yeah,
my time was just like decreasing. So, I mean, my run itself, I think I did well with the little issues that I had, but definitely not the run I wanted. I was like, how are all these things happening? It's like, keep going. And then like time's done. So
yes, Megan, unfortunately, goes out there, but, you know, that propeller bar, it's a tricky one.
Next year.
It'll happen.
It's going to happen.
All right. So next up, we had Brandon Pennell, who was just seconds short after falling on the domino pipes. I think he was just like a singular skip over kind of thing.
Yeah, like not even a montage, just like he timed out. But I would have liked to see it. We didn't see really any timeouts.
No,
there weren't very many of them.
Yeah, they gave them a lot of time. That was another thing that lots of people were talking about, the amount of time that the athletes were given. And a lot of people felt like maybe it was a little easy. Maybe they give a lot of time here.
Yeah. Well, they were trying to make it exciting, I guess, for TV.
Next up, we had Sean Bryan, the 32-year-old Catholic church worker. And this one of the strangest packages, I think.
Agree.
Like not that like it's a strange package to have him talk about religion and be in a church, but like strange just because of like the vibe of it. Like they were playing this like pipe organ music throughout the package that just was like super chill and like weirdly like, I don't know, like the whole thing was just like very strange and soft. And then like the second it ends is like, and we're back to American Ninja Warrior. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah. And not only that, but he's doing backflips down like the church aisle to this organ music.
I mean, you know, it's unique.
Just a little bit of a tonal disconnect. I guess I didn't realize like how religious he himself is, because I feel like he was introduced as the papal ninja in that like he lived with a bunch of really religious people and like encouraged them to work out. So this is the first time we've really highlighted how religious he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember him being sort of like he lives with the priests, but he's not a priest. And so that was the thing. But, you know, bravo to those priests out there wearing full robes in that like 117 degree weather.
Yeah, they were committed. I guess that's the whole thing about being in religion professionally.
Yes, I think so. He ends up looking really winded by the time he gets to the warped wall, but he does complete this course with relative ease.
Yeah. Did you know that yellow and white were the colors of the Vatican?
No.
I didn't know that either. I thought that was just like a cool looking athletic shirt.
Yeah. It's not often that using the colors of something else looks good like by itself.
What do you mean?
Like usually it's like, oh, it's my sports team colors. It's like, okay, I get it. I get that you're wearing their colors, but it's not like a good combination of colors to wear.
Yeah. Well, these are cute.
It works. But still,
yeah, the highlighter yellow didn't associate with the Vatican.
He needs the arm sleeves back. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah. Next up, we had a series of people who got montaged one way or another, starting with Bart Copeland, who gasses out on the flying squirrel, then Grant Clinton, who finishes just in time, Hunter Gerard, who completes the course in one of the fastest times of the night, then Ben Antoine, who goes down on the double dipper.
Big Ben.
Big Ben. Ryan Suter, who goes down at the jumping spider, and the Suter siblings are sniped. I don't know.
It's so violent.
Couldn't find another S word.
The Suter seven are sad.
I guess so. And then finally, Brian Arnold, who has five straight finishes on stage one and makes it six in a row, which is the longest streak of any ninja out there.
Congrats to Brian Arnold. Sorry you didn't get any screen time.
Yes.
Next up, amazing record.
Next up is Cassidy Marks, the 28-year-old project manager. Over the last 3 years, he spent over 2 months in walk-on lines. He's had to go be on a walk-on line 3 times in a row. And he got a package about his mom. And this was another, like, I was a terrible mom, but I've turned things around package.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get to that, I'm confused about the waiting 3 years in a row on the Rock Online. Did he not get on the first 2 years, or did he get on and they just didn't invite him back?
I believe he got on and they did not invite him back.
Oh, man, that sucks. Having to do the Rock Online 3 years in a row. Oh, man.
Well, he finally got a package, so maybe he'll get invited next time.
I mean, maybe.
He did go out on the propeller bar.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, another one about his mom. He was raised by his grandparents, but she seems okay now. That's all I have to say about that. We don't get any information about like what happened.
Yeah. You know, it's it felt like you did this one already, right? Like
we're so crass. We're so shallow with our packages.
Next up was David Campbell, the 39-year-old pizza delivery man. Loved seeing David on the course here. He's gone out on stage one the last 4 years. Each time it's just been one little tiny mistake here or there, a tiny slip up. So happy to see David back on the course and finishing this time.
Yes. Will asked us, how excited was Taryn for David Campbell to finish? How excited were you?
Don't you remember?
Like, you say that like maybe I should, but you really did not show much expression that whole night.
I'm pretty sure I said the words, "Oh, that's awesome."
Wow. With all of that enthusiasm behind it, how could I not remember?
That's a lot of enthusiasm for me when
I know.
I'm not on a podcast.
I know. Yeah, you were excited. I don't particularly remember your reaction, but...
I was pretty excited. I was yelling for David.
Okay. Yeah, happy to see him here. Maybe he'll finally get through the woods of not being invited back.
Yes. Akbar says when he's on the warped wall, Godfather running through stage one like a gangsta.
Yeah, because that's what The Godfather is about. So
exactly.
It works.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I have definitely seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, you know, this is very tangential, but this reminds me, Marlon Brando played The Godfather. Mm-hmm. Marlon Brando, born on the same day I was born, different year, obviously, April 3rd. I was watching the pilot or the premiere for the new season of Twin Peaks, which finished airing about 25 years ago. I am 25 years old myself. And one of the characters had a baby that was born. And they said, oh, that baby was born on the same day as Marlon Brando. And I was like, oh, my God, this baby was born on the exact same day as me in the same year. And it's from Twin Peaks.
Are you that baby?
I might be that baby. That is exactly how this show works. David Lynch is a crazy mastermind, trippy person. I could very well be that baby.
Wow. Secrets revealed here on the American Ninja Warrior podcast.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I enjoy Marlon Brando, I guess, based exclusively on...
Just call him Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando. I know his name. I kind of stumbled over the word. Marlon Brando.
He's only one of the greatest actors who ever lived, but he's pretty bland, guys.
Based exclusively on the gifts I've seen of him when he was young. He was very handsome. And also, I think he gave a cool Oscar speech.
Probably.
He, like... Or no, He let like someone.
Yeah, he invited a Native American woman to come up and give a speech that was entirely unrelated to what he won for or anything like that. He was just like, I've got some time, so I'm going to give it to her.
Yeah, he like used his platform for that. So I know that about him. I've never seen him in a film. I'm sure that he probably has done some bad stuff or something. So if I just don't know anything about, I don't want to be like, he's great and socially progressive and then have people be like, he hits women. Like, I don't know. So I'm just...
You're like
covering my tracks here.
Like Dan Giesling was talking about this. He was like, anytime I say that I'm rooting for somebody on Big Brother, I just get like 50 people who are like, oh, but they did this awful thing. And he's like, oh, fine, whatever. I'm sorry. I can't watch everything.
I try to only speak about celebrities that I know about. So I don't want to say that I like someone who I don't know anything about.
All right. Well, so David Campbell, he manages to clear this course, says about time as he hits that buzzer. And it is about time, David. David, I mean, they point this out, but for anyone that doesn't know or doesn't remember, David really was the leader of the pack in terms of like, he made it further than anyone, like 2 or 3 years in a row when they were going to Japan. He was making it to the cliffhanger multiple times. He was very close to finishing it once and then fell back and lost it. That could have been his year, but it's been a long time since then. He's had some early slip ups, which has been unfortunate, but good to see him back in action.
Yes, and he did well in the skills competition last year, so he's on the upswing.
Yes. And next up, we have another quick little montage here. We've got Jamie Ron, who is the 28th finisher, Ryan Stratus, who becomes the 29th finisher, and Jody Big Dog Ninja Avila, the 30th finisher of the night. That nickname has not been said or uttered in any way ever since it was given.
No, it has not caught on. And I also want to say I'm sad that they montaged Jamie Ron, because in the middle of his run, he had so much time, he stopped to pick up a grasshopper. That was on the course. Yeah. Just like did that. It was interesting.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. There were a lot of grasshoppers that scared the ever loving crap out of me. They're so big.
It's the desert for you.
Yeah. I hated it. But yes, he did stop and pick one up so that it didn't get crushed by his speed.
Yes. Next up was Janique Lovett, the 30-year-old personal trainer. Her package was all about like her life and her struggles. She was pregnant at 17, developed an eating disorder, then met her husband, who encouraged her to go to counseling, which really helped her out, became a bodybuilder. I thought her husband was pretty adorable.
Yeah. What did you find adorable about him?
He was just so supportive. He was like, she's already conquered mountains. Like, this is like, she's so strong. Just like, you know, and he also jumped up and down a lot, like father, like son, because she has the son that does all the backflips.
Yes, I remember, who cheers appropriately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Janique is one of those people who, she has a great story. She's like Maggie Thorne, where they're like, this is going to be a thing now. And so they've invested a lot into Janique this season. Which is fine. I mean, it's good to promote the new women who are up and coming, but...
Unfortunately, she fails here on the transition to the double dipper, does not get the timing right. We see a few people do this. They hold on to that bar a little too long, and they just can't get the distance after that.
Yeah, like James said, when you're nervous, you overgrip.
Yeah.
Like, that can't help.
So next up, we had Tyler Gillette, the 21-year-old super fan of American Ninja Warrior. He's the guy who had the footage of himself, like 7 years ago when he was 14, you know, practicing on a home-built course. He said, since the qualifiers, a storm came through and destroyed his home course. Not only that, but he got poison ivy and the chicken pox. Man, it's rough.
Adult chicken pox is like one of my biggest fears.
Well, actually, it was not adult chicken pox, but I had a very similar experience. I managed to get poison ivy and the chicken pox at the same time. And it was pretty hard.
Where were you?
I was living in New Hampshire at the time.
But like you were just out in the woods?
I have no idea how it happened. I have no memory. All I remember is that it got really bad. I got like a really bad fever. I had to be taken to the hospital. And then there was like a pan that my mom had left on the stove, and she left the stove on and it warped the pan.
That's what you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you?
Must have been like very early middle school.
Okay. Like
maybe like late elementary school.
That sounds terrible. So I hate to say like I'm jealous, but I'm jealous of anyone who had chicken pox as a child. Okay. Because it really is like my worst fear.
Well, if Tyler Gillette can get through it and then complete stage one in Vegas, then certainly you can.
Yeah, he can. Everybody's like, well, you have the vaccination, so you're not going to get it. I'm like, I would be the one person to defy science and get it as an adult. I don't know.
It's, I guess so. Me.
Anyway, good for Tyler. His aunt is my friend.
All right.
We talked for a while.
So Akbar says when he's on the Double Dipper, moving sharp, clean and crisp.
Yeah, they're really hyping him up. I feel like Matt and Akbar are like super in on Tyler.
I'm pretty in on Tyler. I mean, this really was an impressive run to watch. And I've said it before, but like these super fans, the ones who have been like training specifically for American Ninja Warrior for a long time before they're finally able to compete, they're young. They are practiced. These are the superstars of the next generation.
Yeah, well, you and Matt Nagbar definitely agree. They're really into this idea of like they didn't play conventional sports. Like this was their sport that they trained for, which is cool.
Yeah, well, this is what happened in Sasuke. We had the all-stars of Sasuke and they dominated the sport for a while. And then there was a whole new generation that came in and there was a little bit of a rivalry between the old generation and the new one. But eventually this new generation came in and just started completely dominating to the point where Yuji Urushihara ended up winning twice. I mean, these new generations, they come in and they dominate.
Yeah, and one thing that they emphasized on Tyler's run that I was kind of confused about was, like, you're going on the warped wall with really tired legs. But, like, are you? Because the only thing that you use your legs for before that, like, there's snake run and there's the parkour run. But is that really, like, does that take it all out of your legs? I guess it's something that I have to ask an athlete. But they really wanted to, like, ramp up the difficulty of the warped wall by saying you're doing it on tired legs.
Well, it's not like your legs are pumped, but you are tired from the rest of the course, and that's what makes it more difficult. Like, you see a lot more people fail on the warped wall in stage one in Vegas than you do in, like, a qualifying course because it's timed and they're, like, coming off of just, like, running, you know, going through the jumping spider, running through the parkour run, and their body is just exhausted. And so it's harder to, like, you know, maintain the correct technique and get the strength that you need to get up the wall. And then of course also the run up to the wall itself is also shorter. They call it like lower body in Sasuke, like the lower body obstacles. That would be a warped wall thing. And it's really just as James mentioned it, like a cardio thing. Like it's just a matter of keeping your cardio good.
Yeah, so you're running it on tired legs because your whole body is tired, which includes your legs.
Right.
Okay. I guess that makes sense.
All right. So that he was very happy as he hit that buzzer. Lots of emotion. They said they loved it. I did too.
Yeah.
Next up, we have another montage starting with Rebecca Bonilla, who goes out on the propeller bar. Brian Burkhart, who goes down on the jumping spider. And Dave Kavanaugh, the firefighter who torched the course with one of the fastest times in Vegas.
That's the opposite of what firefighters do.
Well, you know.
He had to torch it and then also put it out.
Yeah. Okay. Next up was Adam Rail, the 23-year-old concrete worker, but not the concrete ninja. One of only 9 athletes to complete a city's final course this year. He helps train a boy with autism and anxiety issues that's an American Ninja Warrior superfan.
Yeah, and American Ninja Warrior really brings out the best in him, the calmness in him, which I think is a theme through a lot of these ninjas that have now... A lot of them have established relationships with kids that they train, especially ones that have like developmental issues or mental health issues or something like that. And I think like the common theme is that like they can feel more themselves or happy or relaxed on the course.
Yes. He is now the boy's new favorite ninja.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty insulting.
It would be.
He wasn't.
He flies through Snake Run. Talk about people that Matt and Akbar are hyping up. Adam Rail, definitely one of those people. And for good reason. He's won a lot of these local ninja competitions, beating out Drew Jessel and Joe Morofsky.
Whoa, how do you know that?
We've talked about this on previous podcasts.
Oh. I don't remember things you say.
So last year he made it to stage two as a rookie walk-on. So he really is coming out of nowhere. Very nearly falls on parkour run, but manages to hold on to that step. And then no problems past there. He completes the course.
Underrated hottie, I think, of American Ninja Warrior.
All right. Who's underrating him?
I just don't think it's often discussed. And
who discusses these things other than us?
Okay, I haven't brought it up so far. I don't think I've mentioned it.
Underrated hottie by myself.
I don't know. I think that there are people that everybody agrees is, and I think everybody would agree on Adam Rayl. Just, you know, I don't think it's ever been discussed.
All right, then. Next up, we have another montage starting with Alex Carson, who saved himself on the domino pipes, but goes out on the flying squirrel. Then we had Carson Voiles, who completes the course. And then, of course, our good friend, John Alexis Jr., who also completes the course. He did get montaged, but we are not going to montage him on our podcast.
No, we would never do that.
No, he is going to... He is going to tell us about his run in Vegas.
Yeah. So, well, let's refresh about last year. I went down on I almost cleared the whole course. I went down on the spider, the jumping. Oh, crap. So let's go.
Was it not the jumping spider last year?
The flying squirrel is what it was called. Okay.
Oh, right.
Right near the end. I actually have to remember my run. All right. So stage one in Vegas looked really sweet. There was the double dipper, which I have to say looked like one of the sweetest obstacles in stage one that I've seen so far. So I was excited to try it. Luckily, it was a little jolting, but I got through it and got through each of the other obstacles in stage one. Had a blast doing it and was able to better last year, where I went down in the flying squirrel. And this year I kind of got through it and was able to press a buzzer. And it was my first Vegas buzzer. So I was really excited about that.
Yeah, very cool. Did you feel like this course was easier? I know we saw like a lot of finishers.
I do think it was a little bit easier. Yeah, there were this was a record for how many people got through stage one.
It was like 40 something people, right?
Yeah. I think 41 or something. So. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, it was exciting to watch, but it made us wonder, like, is this just a really competitive season? Like, everybody is really good, or did they alter it a little bit?
It's also hard to measure because it's hard to say whether the obstacles were harder or not. And it's also hard to measure yourself against other people. Like, maybe, yeah, we all got better, or maybe the course was a little bit easier. And I don't know if like my skills advanced much. It's hard to say. You know?
Yeah. I think it's also the sort of thing, especially like if you watch Sasuke, and like the reason why they change up the course is that if you leave the obstacles the same for too long, the athletes are going to get really good at them. And then you're going to see, you know, something like, even if it's not easier, just the fact that it's many of the same obstacles, they know how to complete them now. So you're going to see more finishers.
True. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, that's part of what makes a Ninja Warrior better, is having a variety of skill sets and being able to apply them to new obstacles. So if the obstacle is very similar, it's easier. But if it's drastically different, then there's that aspect of adaptation. So those are kind of two things that, you know, you change the measure of one. I don't really know what I'm saying, but
it's all right. I think we get the point. Yes. So interesting stuff there from John, talking about the nature of the obstacles. What makes this course so easy? Why did we get so many finishers? I mean, I think that's a very interesting thing to discuss there. I think it was a thing where, you know, the silk slider or whatever it was being replaced with a double dipper, as many people that were taken down by the double dipper, I do think it was easier than previous versions of that obstacle. And then the rest of the course was mostly the same, and they added extra time to it. I think that's probably why we got those extra finishers there.
Yeah, and as we've mentioned, we didn't really see anyone not too many people go down on the domino pipes. I don't know if we normally see the balance obstacle take a lot of people out in stage one, but we saw it definitely in some qualifiers this year. So I don't know if the domino pipes was easier or if it was just too much time.
Yeah. So that was John Alexis Jr. And next up, we had Kyle Mendoza, the 28-year-old FedEx delivery driver. He has 140,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Wow. I have no perspective for that because I don't create YouTube content. So I just have no idea how many that is.
Well, just imagine you were subscribed to him on YouTube, and then imagine that multiplied by 140,000.
Thank you for explaining numbers to me.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate that.
I mean, I was in the advanced math classes.
Yeah, that's that coming through. I just mean when someone says that they have a certain amount of followers on Twitter, Instagram, I like know relatively where that puts them on the celebrity scale. But I just have no frame of reference for YouTube.
Well, that's fine. He does a weird grab on the propeller bar where he grabs one hand over the front of it, and then the other hand he reaches around the back of it. So he's grabbing on from both sides where most people just grab with both hands over the front side, and then leaps straight to the rope, very caution to the wind here. And then that really bites him as he goes down on the transition for the double dipper.
Yeah, and Akbar says, air ball, which I just think is mean.
As opposed to, like, all of the other various puns.
It's not a pun. He's not, like, a aerial artist.
Okay.
It's not a pun. It's just that he totally missed.
You know who is an aerial artist?
I knew that's where we're going. Is it Jessie Graff?
It's Jessie Graff, the 33-year-old stunt woman who ran away and joined the circus.
Yeah, it was a lot easier than she thought it would be.
Yeah. She says this whole package about how she's always wanted to join the circus. She wrote them a letter. They said, wait till you're older. And now she's older.
Yeah. Have you ever been on a trapeze?
No.
Oh, it's really fun.
I wasn't aware that was a thing that people did.
What do you mean?
I would never cross my mind to ask somebody, have you ever been on a trapeze? Unless for whatever reason, I happened to go on one for a special reason and wanted to show off that I had been on one.
I'm not trying to show off. I was just wondering and letting you know that it's really fun.
Oh, sure. I get it.
Okay. And like any circus art studio, you can go on a trapeze.
Oh, circus art studio.
Yes. Where they have aerial soul classes and things like that.
Yeah, totally normal. I bet most people know exactly what you're talking about and have experienced the exact same thing.
Most people can take an aerial soap class or a hoop class or whatever, whenever you want.
I'm sure that they can, but I bet if you asked most people, they would say, no, I haven't done that.
Okay, well, I'm promoting it. You should do it. They have intro level.
I like to jokingly do the humble brags, and you love to point it out. So I'm just pointing it out when you're not jokingly doing it and actually doing it.
Aerial silks came up somewhere. I think Kyle Mendoza's wife does them because their whole family is so epic, and his dog does obstacles, which is what I was interested in.
It's true. His dog does do obstacles. So Jessie makes her way through this course very smooth through parkour run. This happened with us to Jessie Lebrecq, where we thought she was going to get through the course, but it was a little bit like, oh man, she's running out of time. With Jessie Graff, we were like, yeah, she's got this. She hasn't messed up at all. She's got plenty of time. And then boom. Out of nowhere, she just drops straight into the water. Even Akbar's like, no, what? What happened?
Yeah, it was emotional to watch this on TV knowing what was coming because that was so disappointing in real life. But she says that she got overconfident. She wrote a long Facebook post about it this morning about how there were all these positives that came out of it. Like she didn't feel winded after she finished like she did she basically got through it. Her performance on the warp ball was way better. She said she felt stronger. She felt like cardio was better. And she gets to compete on Sasuke this year. So lots of positives coming out of this, but it was really, really disappointing.
Yes. And we talked to James and Alyssa about watching Jessie and Jessie, the two Jessies compete. Talk about unfortunate for Jessie Lebrecq, who had the package about how she is too often compared to Jessie Graff. They go out at the exact same spot in about the exact same way.
Yeah, poor Jessie Lebrecq.
Yes. So I'm going to play that for you guys now.
They ran fairly close to one another, too. They weren't far apart that night. So it was, and I think Jessie Lebrecq went first because I remember thinking like, oh, like I don't remember who else, like Jerry and maybe like Lindsay or Rebecca hadn't run yet. I don't remember. I remember thinking like, wow, it might just be Jessie Graff and I in stage two. Like that would be crazy. And somebody said, well, I mean, don't assume anything yet. And I'm like, come on, it's Jessie Graf. Like she, she made it last season. She's only getting better every year. Like, and then that happened. I'm like, oh my God, like I can't cry for another Jessie on this same obstacle, but it's happening.
Yeah, it was really shocking. Yeah, especially seeing it twice in one night from two of the top women.
Yeah. Just, I mean, I thought it, I legitimately thought going in, I'm like, there's, I mean, I wanted to make it to stage two. And I thought, you know, we could have like a good collection of women on stage two. Like, how cool is this going to be that Jessie Graf like opened the door last season and then this year we all come pouring in? And unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way. So, season 10. That's what we're going for.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's what we were thinking in the audience too, where it was just like surely yeah. there's going to be a bunch of like Megan needs to go, Jessie, the yes. Jessies, like there's going to yes. be so many women in stage two.
I was surprised when Barkley failed.
Yeah, she was looking really strong.
Yeah. Although I remember watching her on the wall and I'm like, she has to go. Like, she's got to go.
Yeah.
She's not going. And everyone's like, you got to go. And I'm like, she's not going. She can't hear any of us.
Yeah. She took like, a weird approach where she dropped in on the wall, which I feel like if you need to use that back curve on the wall, dropping in isn't a great way to do it. That it's easier to get in and then run up and back down.
Yeah.
That back piece. It gives you more of a runway and more momentum going into it. So the first time when she just dropped into it and went, I was just like, oh, you're making it harder.
Yeah, I feel like there's just like there's little technique things that like, you know, they can really spell the end of your entire run. It's like, no, just why didn't you do it the better way?
Yeah, and sometimes you don't realize till you're doing it like, nope, this was wrong. This was... Oh, yeah. Crap.
And I think the especially shocking thing with like people like Jessie Graf is that so many people finished the stage one course. I mean,
yeah,
this was like half the field. And so we were like, all right,
most
things
ever.
Are looking great. Yeah. So it was even more shocking to see these super top people like Jessie Graf and Jessie LeBret go out in that way when we know that they can do it.
Yeah.
You know, like they of course can clear the course. So I think that made it even more disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really thought we were going to see, like, in my opinion, I thought we were going to see four women on stage two.
At least.
Jessie, yeah. Jessie, Alyssa, and Barkley. And that was.
Megan.
Well, I mean.
I'm just like,
right. Well, there's more than four strong women, but I thought there was going to be, I mean, I thought those four were the, you know, it was a safe bet in my eyes, yeah. But
nothing's yeah. ever guaranteed in Ninja.
Yeah. And it also, it felt like for each one, there was a specific like little thing that was like the reason why it didn't happen. Like they all could have done it, but they each got unlucky in various ways and just like, whoops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is always frustrating coming from like some of the, you know, NNL comps I've been in too. It's like you make a silly error and you're like, but that's not what I'm capable of. I'm capable yeah. of so much more. Like people know that, right? Like don't judge me for this one run. So it's a little, you know, it's definitely frustrating from an athlete's point of view too. And I know, I imagine that, you know, Jessie and Jessie too definitely were thinking that, you know, like coming off last season, Jessie Graf, everyone knows she can do it. So it's like, I know she wanted another stab at stage two in the regular season. And that would have been so cool.
All right. So that is all we've got for now with James and Alyssa, but they will be back to talk about Drew. But in the meantime, we're going to continue our recap here, starting with, again, a quick little montage here, starting with Sarah Heason, who goes down on the propeller bar, Mitch Vitapo, who goes down on the jumping spider, and Nicholas Coolridge, who is montaged yet again and becomes our 36th finisher.
What did he do to the editors?
He'll never be a featured run ever again.
Once he stopped eating garbage, they were no longer interested.
Yeah. Next up, we have Naji Richardson, the 26-year-old gymnastics coach. He moved in with his girlfriend to a place 5 minutes from the gym so that he can spend all of his time training.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get a proposal package next year?
No.
Why not?
He just moved in with her.
Yeah, and but it'll be a year later.
Do you propose a year after moving in? Not necessarily. I mean, it's certainly possible, but I don't think it's necessary. Like, oh, wow, I just moved in with you. Time to propose.
I think after a year, then that is a totally fine amount of time, depending on how long they've been dating before they moved in.
Look, he's only 26 years old. He doesn't have to propose anytime soon.
I'm not saying he has to. I'm just saying. I think that it's a possibility. They seem really serious.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we can get Najee to weigh in on this.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be a really comfortable interview for him.
Yeah. Najee Richardson, he's one of these guys. He's so good. He's so good. He vaults right off of the double dipper into a handspring. Is that what they called it?
Front handspring.
Yes. Which was very cool. They showed Drew and JJ cheering him on and being impressed by his handspring there. And then just really just breezes through this course. Really, really swings very, very well at the flying squirrel and manages to grab the very top rope of that cargo net at the end.
Yeah, Akbar says, as always, he skies high, which is not a phrase.
You've never skied high?
I am familiar with the Disney Channel original movie Sky High.
Well, I often sky low, so it's okay. Pretty impressive to watch Najee sky high.
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging to accomplish, but it was just weird that Akbar was like, as always, like, that's not a thing that anyone says.
You're taking my use of sky as a verb, like, and just running with it, and it's very discomforting.
I think that you can verb anything. I just verb.
All right, you just pulled a Lita.
What?
You just Lita'd that all over the place.
Yeah, see, that is a verb. Your sentence pull was a verb, which it already is.
Sure, but you could also use that second one as a verb.
Yeah, well, when you say that I Lita'd the verb, then that works.
It also works to do it the other way.
Okay, sure. Whatever you say, you're a grammar expert.
All right. So next we have Daniel Gill, the 24-year-old worship leader, who may become the 38th finisher. He does become the 38th finisher.
He might, if you weren't tipped off by them putting up his time next to Lance's, literally like before he starts.
Yes. As per usual with Daniel Gill, just very smoothly speeds through this course. Not much to say about his run, but fastest time so far.
Yeah, good for Daniel Gill.
Yes, and then next up, we finally get Casey Catanzaro, the 27-year-old WWE performer, wrestler.
Is it performer, competitor?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Not a WWE person.
You're not? That's shocking. I'm not either. Amazing.
So she's, again, they're like, this may be her last run, but she might make it through and compete in stage two. But if that were the case, we definitely would not have had that package at the front, and we would not be talking about how this is almost assuredly going to be the last time we see her.
Yeah, my favorite part was them clearly editing in shots of like screaming girls from other times, because there's one where it's three little girls and they're wearing literal coats. Like, this is not from Las Vegas. They're not just cutting to the crowd.
Yes, they really, unfortunately, she wasn't on the course for too long, so they really had to milk this one out as much as possible.
Yeah, at least she got revenge on the propeller bar.
She did. But she does let go too late on the double dipper and ends up going down.
And I will miss her. I said at the top of the show, but I don't think that she's overrated in any capacity. I think that she is wonderful and great, and I love her.
Well, of course, you don't think she's overrated. We're the only people that talk about American Ninja Warrior in your life, and you don't think anybody is overrated or underrated unless you decide it arbitrarily.
Every single person is appropriately rated.
Yeah, except for the ones that you've suddenly decided they are underrated. So now I'm going to appropriately rate them, and now they will be appropriately rated.
I have previously underrated them, and I am updating their rating.
Yes, so that is it for Casey Catanzaro. She is gone from American Ninja Warrior. No more Casey.
But, you know, she'll still be in athletics.
So that's it for Casey. Next up, we have Abel Gonzalez, who becomes the 39th finisher, and Josh Salinas, who becomes the 40th finisher with the fastest time up to this point.
Yeah, but, you know, he doesn't have any sort of sob story to speak of that I know of. So we're going to skip right through him.
He's also about to get beat by the GOAT, Drew Jeschel, 28-year-old ninja gym owner. He's here to just crush this course.
We haven't had a Palm Wonderful swag bag run of the night yet, so I wonder how this is going to go.
Yes. So, man, Drew just takes on this course and just demolishes it. He gets a little tangled with the rope on the propeller bar, but barely manages to even trip him up a little bit. And now, if you pay attention to the sidelines as Drew runs, you can see a whole host of people running alongside the sidelines to try to track his run as he goes. One of those people is me.
Could you actually see yourself?
No, I could not, because anytime you pause, there's like they become blurred lines. Yes, if you can just imagine that I am one of those people that is running alongside him. And man, it's difficult to even run to at the same amount of speed as him running through the obstacles. He just goes so quickly.
Yeah, and you will notice we are not behind Christine in his interview, because at this point in the night, we're like, okay, we just need to wait for Drew to go and then we can leave, because it was literally 5 a.m.
Yeah, it was very late and he was the last person to go. And we at that point had been like, oh my God, just please, Drew, just run. Just run, Drew, because after you do, then we can just leave, because I don't care who else is going to run.
Yes, but you got your second wind and we're sprinting along with him.
Yes. So he gets to the parkour run and skips the rope there, just like JJ. We mentioned this in the last episode. We actually overheard Drew talking, saying that he had a plan for parkour run, but we may see JJ do it first. I think they came up with this plan together. They both executed. It's clearly the optimal strategy for taking on parkour run. Just saves you a ton of time and a ton of hassle trying to land with that rope, and doesn't even seem that difficult to do. So Drew continues to be the true innovator on the course.
He is the true maker ninja.
Yes. So then he also grabs that top rope on the cargo net with only one hand, though. Doesn't get the second hand up there like Najee did.
Yeah, but I mean, does that matter?
Look, you reach that top level. It's the little things that matter. Okay. But he does finish the course. Fastest time of the night. Over a minute left on the clock for stage one. That's insane.
Yeah, it was another one of those things where they put the clock up as soon as he started running. It's like, obviously, he's just going to smash this.
Yes. And as you mentioned, he does get the Palm Wonderful Crazy Healthy run of the night. I hope he got a black towel.
Yeah. And the towel that goes along with it. Truly iconic. Did you catch the trailer for next week's episode?
Yes.
Okay. They say it's time to crown the next American Ninja Warrior, which is never how this works. Like, it's not like every season we crown a new American Ninja Warrior.
Well, it could be.
It could be, but to say, like, it is time, that's what this finale entails.
Well, if there is ever a time, it is certainly this time.
I guess. It's just like, what is this trailer?
Yeah, you know. What do you want?
I don't know. I want them to just be like, here's all the people. I don't know. They usually do like a Jesse Graff is coming up next week. Like, I don't know. They usually just highlight like a couple stars or whatever. It was just weird. I don't know.
It was a little weird. I'll give it that. But yes, they're talking to Drew afterward, and he says, man, I just had to finish before my song ended.
Yeah. And we know what song that might have been because we've seen his playlist.
Yeah. I was like, man, he's just like Baby Driver.
You keep referencing this movie as if like I'm ever going to see it.
Look, it's not my fault you don't see good movies.
Okay, well, it's not my fault you're always referencing
movies. Baby Driver is a driver for a criminal organization who they do heists. He is their driver. He's always listening to music, and he puts on songs and times the songs to the robberies so that he knows exactly what to do at all moments. And this is just like Drew Jeschel.
I don't like Ansel Elgort, So I'm not going to see it. Also,
ouch.
Also, now both of my wrap ups, if you listen to the So You Think You Dance podcast, are just my co-host chastising me for not seeing movies. This is like the third week in the row this has happened.
I mean, it's really your fault.
I don't like movies. Everybody needs to just accept this.
I mean, we can accept it, or you can accept that you're a failure because of it.
I like the few movies that I like, and I watch them over and over again.
All right.
That's fine. Oh my God. Okay.
We also talked to James and Alyssa about Drew, so I'm going to play that for you now.
We were interviewing.
Yeah, I know. I watched. Oh, that's right.
We were behind the course.
That's right.
We're like, oh.
Didn't I say, hold on a second? I think I stopped in the middle and I was like, look, I'm going to go watch this run.
It was like one of the last ones of the night. We were like so tired. And but I was like, I'm not leaving until we see Drew.
I remember they wanted me over for with her while she was doing her interview. And I was like, guys, you're going to have to hold on because I'm going to go watch this run. Yeah. But I don't remember watching the run. It was so late.
It was. Yeah. It was really late.
And I know it's probably going to be one of those things where when I finally see it, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
But I can't think of it.
Well, he also did the hop from the parkour run. Right.
I didn't see anyone do that. I heard about it, but I think when people did that, I like turned for just a second and then looked as they were landing. And I was like, wait, how'd they do that so fast?
Yeah. All right. So that is our episode. We will be back next week to recap the season finale of American Ninja Warrior. We're going to talk about stage two and maybe we'll talk about stage three and maybe we'll talk about stage four. Who knows? Maybe we'll be crowning a new American Ninja Warrior. All right. Well, very much looking forward to that. We can run through the finishers of tonight. We've got Drew Dreschel, Josh Salinas, Daniel Gill, Hunter Gerard, Dave Kavanaugh, Nicholas Coolidge, Jamie Ron, Matthew Igenfritz, Najee Richardson, Jody Avila, Tyler Yamauchi, David Campbell, Adam Rail, Brian Arnold, Sean Bryan. That's a mouthful. Brian Arnold, Sean Bryan, Tyler Gillette, Abel Gonzalez, John Alexis Jr., Carson Voiles, Ryan Stratus, and Grant Clinton. So that is our episode. We'll be back next week to finish off the season. We'll have more clips from our interviews, and who knows? Maybe we'll manage to get another guest. Maybe not. We'll see. But it will be exciting nonetheless. And you know, there might be some other stuff, special coverage heading your way. We'll keep you updated on all of that. But lots of fun stuff for the end of American Ninja Warrior season 9. You can find us on iTunes, American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Ups to get all of our content in there, including the So You Think You Can Dance podcast, the Taran Show, the Big Brother coverage, the challenge, all of it, all in one place. It's pretty easy. Really, what you should do is subscribe to both and all of these feeds and just get rid of the ones you don't want to listen to. It's easy. Nice and fun. You can also find us on robhiswebsite.com, as Lita mentioned, and leave a comment there. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taran. Lita is at Lita Tweeted. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver?
I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.